Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. The choice is yours.
Three's the hard way, three's the hard way, three's the hard way.
You
want to
do it the easy way or the hard way?
With over 30 years of combined wrestling experience and knowledge, nearly every bit of it Woody's, Georgia Wrestling History presents Three the Hard Way.
I think kind of a psychology
psychology brain, and you know, he was way ahead of his time. And like you said, he took stuff from wrestling and put it into boxing, because boxing was more of a gentleman's sport, you know.
That's right. That's right.
You know, he just took everything and electrified it way ahead of time. I wish it had been about 20 years later and seeing what he could have done, you know.
That's right. And had he not, had there not been a war and he not fought the courts and all those things that happened to kind of rob him of, rob the world of 4 years of his prime, who knows where we are. Well, I think we've paid tribute, we've paid homage here at the foot of Muhammad Ali. What I'm really wondering about now is what went on in your neck of the woods this weekend.
Holy moly, man, it has been nothing but headaches the last month or so. Drew DeLight and the Empire have come in. They're actually got kind of control part of the business now.
What?
So me and Dale Morris, my partner, had a verbal agreement. And at one time before Dale partnered up with me, Dale was going to go with Drew DeLight then first. Well, they sat down for the contract signing, and then DeLight just ended up getting up and leaving the signing just to come back later and sign and to spring it on Morris a year or so later. So
wow.
It's been chaos. DeLight said he's going to use our resources to get his product over. So it's been a little nuts.
You know, I kind of wondered about that myself, just from some of the rumblings I had heard going around, was that just because one place he was associated with was not operating currently, that he thought that he could just go take something from somebody else. I'd actually heard that, and I thought, you know, people talk a lot. people say a lot of things. But just that, so no, it has come to roost. Now, that is, obviously, I'm kind of embroiled in that in a different way myself, and PCW certainly dealt with our share of that. But this is kind of a first for you, right?
Yes, it is. I don't know how to act. You know, the lights made the comments of running all up and down 550. We run Blairsville. We run LJ, Blue Ridge, Casper, Canton, and Copper Basin, and talking about coming in all of the places. So,
yeah.
Plus, it's kind of got some kind of input on stuff, so it's throwing me a curve. It's throwing me a curve, and it's put a little friction with me and my partner Daryl, so.
And, you know, we talked to Daryl here, you know, and Daryl was new to this game, and there's a whole lot of pitfalls that exist just underneath the surface of any wrestling show, and it looks like he might have fell into one.
Yeah, he a trusting soul, you know, he's a trusting soul, and, you know, like I said, man, his stuff's all done on a handshake in common word, you know, and, and the lot saying that, you know, he's going to use the law system to his advantage. So I can't wait to see what comes from this. But,
have you had your anniversary show yet?
Yes, we had our anniversary show last Saturday. It was a pretty good deal. Had finally happened, Gunner Miller versus Impact Star Gunner.
That is the thing that everybody's buzzing about. What is going on? How did that go?
It lived up to the hype. It lived up to the hype, and ended up the first match. And it's Impact Gunner, I'll call him, ended up getting aggravated and brought a chair in. So he raced in the corner, got sidetracked, and ended up being as unfair as Miller goes to spear him, he sidesteps him, Miller goes to the chair and goes to win. And so we agreed that this didn't go the way we wanted it to, so we have re-signed for July 16th in Canton, Georgia. So I promise to give him another chance.
That's my buddy Woody bringing it back. I have not a shock at all. Well, down our way, we have been – go ahead.
I said, I'll tell you another thing people were there for. I strapped the boots back on for a show, and I took the big wheel $500 challenge. And it ended up coming to that guy beat me like I owed him money, son. I mean, I got knocked out.
Woody, I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you the last time we talked.
I fought back, and I'm pretty tough cooking myself still, but not like I was. And he ends up bringing a taser in the ring, and was going to tase me, dude. And so I was able to kick him and get the taser out of his hands and use it on him. So I came out victory in $500 victory. So it was wild.
What's your answer to the old power window? What is surprising to me in a way is the wealth of talent is seeking us out. We've been lucky that, you know, we've had a lot of interest. We had a couple shows ago, we had a group come in from IWA Mid-South, which was Randy West and Thunder Kitty and the Bomb Shelter, and they came in and certainly made an impact. And then just sort of out of nowhere, you know, you talk to the right person, you say the right thing, and next thing I know, Slim J is making his PCW debut.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And Slim comes in and he does his stuff. You know, the people are just going crazy there. It's because, I mean, if you're in the know and you see Slim J, he's one of those guys that you can sometimes get used to, and you forget that what he's doing is not only not easy, but so unique here in Georgia. And a lot of people do elements of what he does, but not too many people do all of what he can do. And, you know, Slim's another guy that you see, and he is relatively young, but he's been wrestling for forever. And he's an excellent trainer, and so he really knows his stuff, and so you kind of get a shot of him in a new place, and it kind of freshens your take on him up. And then I was just blown away. Well, he had a debut match a couple weeks ago that was interrupted by Logan Creed. And so last show we had Logan Creed versus Slim J. And there is no better man of Slim J's size at fighting bigger guys than he is. I mean, and it was everything you would expect it to be. But Logan Creed took his eye off the ball, and he got distracted by thinking about Gunnar Miller and calling for Gunnar Miller and all that. And he got beaten by Slim J. So a huge, huge victory for Slim J. And then we had Cheater. I hate to – this Cornerstone business has gotten to a crescendo, as it were. And it has awoken something in the PCW champion Jeter, all 6'8", 400 pounds of Jeter. And he's back to he's declared that he is ready to be the most dangerous weapon again. He beat two men, two able-bodied men in Stunt Marshall and Cameron Jackson, and was beckoning for more. So we're wrapping up, and, I mean, we're just a couple shows away from Revolutionary War Games. So all that is happening, and I'm here to tell you, this is the first year that the fourth falls on the Monday, and so, you know, that July 2nd is our Saturday. So usually we'll just run the fourth and then figure that out, but if we got a day, let's do it. And so July 2nd we'll be running a show that will feature a sort of champion versus champion, in that Johnny Danger is going to select a wrestler to wrestle on his behalf. And Stephen Platinum is going to select someone to wrestle on his behalf. And whoever loses that match, the person they wrestled for is getting shaved plum bald.
And
if that was King's Barbershop to be on hand, they will be shaved bald on that day. And if that wasn't enough, Trevor Aeon has been throwing powder in the eyes of Brian Blaze, attempting to paint his masterpiece now for a couple months. And this thing has finally boiled to a head. And Brian Blaze challenged him to, and I believe this is a PCW first, and I hadn't seen one here in Georgia since I've been here, but they're going to have a blindfold match on that show as well.
Oh, that's great. That's
so
great.
How's that for old school? We go haircut and blindfold?
Let me tell you something. Old school works, baby. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Did you see the news that broke maybe a couple hours ago? Is it coming out of your area, too, North Georgia area? Did you see the news clipping from Ringgold?
I thought I'm going to say, I'll bite my tongue and let that go. Certain things, sometimes you wonder how certain things you wish they would happen, if you know what I mean. But, I have no good feelings for Paulie at all. But I still wouldn't want to see him shot. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody beat the shit out of him. But
here's the weird thing about being in the wrestling world is we all read that story. You know, the weird thing about being in the wrestling world is we read that story, and I would imagine most of our thought processes went something like this. Let me check this website to see if it's real. Is there other news on this website? Like, okay. It does pass that test. There's other news here. Still, though, is it real? No, it looks to be, and to be real. And then I'm like, what in the world? And then I'm kind of like, well, I'm a little bit jealous that that's he really riled him up. But I'm like,
yeah, well, I think a lot of that. If somebody can just call in your ring with, you know, especially an old 60-year-old woman can call in your ring and get in there. Somebody's not doing their job, period.
There's the rub right there. That's really what I wanted to tell. I knew you wouldn't be much on the details because of who was involved in it, but that was the part of the story that I wanted to because, I mean, that's bad business, man. And, yes, it's great to have the crowd wanting to get into the ring, to have them so fired up that they would love to get into the ring. But if you afford them the opportunity to do that, you're playing with. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. Take out all the legality stuff. Just take. I'll sacrifice all that stuff. But just the fact that you might be putting one of your workers in danger.
Yep.
You can't do it, man. You just cannot do it because you don't know. And we've all heard those stories. And luckily in wrestling, it usually gets stopped beforehand or, you know, the fan kind of backs off. But I always think now of Dimebag Darrell. Immediately what I think about. And there was no difference in that situation and the Dimebag situation, except for they didn't go through with it because somebody just jumped up on the stage. And again, we all can get a little lax sometimes because when you run a show in the same places over and over, you build up a rapport with the people and you know the people and you think you understand what they are not capable of. But they can slip one in you, man. They can sneak one right in on you. And that looks to be what happened here. I'll say this. I don't think we're going to see any metal detectors at that show. I don't care what that story says. something just tells me there won't be any metal detectors, even though that's what the show claims. But we are going to take a quick break right now because we have got a guest coming on the line directly, and we're going to talk all about that. I'm very excited to talk to him, and we'll be back here in just a couple minutes. Thank you again for joining us here on Three the Hard Way.
We're bold and beautiful, obviously. Plain to see, you're everything I'd hoped for, you're everything I need. We're bold and beautiful, obviously.
Bear with me, I got a lot of R.
Well, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, and I do loan for a time when people sang their own entrance music. That was the beautiful Bald Besties singing their entrance music right there. But we are being joined right now by a very special guest. I'm going to let him tell you all about what he's doing because I have been to this show. I really enjoy this show, and I think that there's something brewing there. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with me to Three the Hard Way, Mr. Ben Thrasher. Ben, how's it going?
It's going great, guys. How y'all doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, man. Roll Tide. Let's get that right out of the way.
Roll Tide.
So there can be no confusion.
I was going to ask you how this podcast is going to play out after we spank Auburn in the Iron Bowl again this year. You're going to have to find another co-host there with you?
You know, I feel like Woody is just used to it enough by now that he can just see through it. I mean, I was at his show last time. I was in the parking lot listening to the game end out, and I keep getting messages, hey, I want you to come cut promos. I'm like, Woody, you know what I'm doing, and the only reason you're not doing it is because you know you're about to lose.
Did it change the finish of the match, the outcome of the game?
You know what? I think we did go under that night.
Hello?
I think
crazy the eraser is almighty.
Well, Ben, man, I'm not blowing smoke when I tell you that I really do like what you've got going on up there. Tell the people all about where they can find you and what it's all about.
Great. I've actually transitioned pretty much out of the ring for the most part, you know, still hit or miss there, but now I am the proud owner of UEW, that's Ultimate Extreme Wrestling, and we're based out of East Ridge, Tennessee. Our venue's located at 410 Drugs Road. It's right off I-75, whether you're going northbound or southbound. It's a great location. You know, it's just it was a show that you know, I kind of cut my teeth at back in the early 90s, or the mid-90s, I'm sorry, when I broke in. And, you know, I got tired of the landscape of wrestling in this area. It was, you know, people not treating wrestlers the way we should be treating us like, you know, like we're indisposable. And, I mean, to an extent we are because, you know, there's 37 shows in a 20-mile radius for the most part. But in my head, I wanted to take what I was fortunate enough to learn over the years from guys like Ted Allen and Randall Brown, Woody, Terry Lawler, David Young, you know, Bill Barons, and incorporate this into a show that is a professionally ran show that tells stories, that gets the fans emotionally invested. Because to me, if you get these fans invested in your product, you don't have to have the greatest wrestlers in the world. They have to have talent, of course. But you get these people invested in your characters and your talent, you can do no wrong. You tell the story, and you get those people invested, and they keep coming back every Saturday. And we've been open July the 18th will be our one-year anniversary. That's actually what we're gearing toward now. July the 30th, we're going to have our one-year anniversary show Evermore. And, you know, to me, you know, ever since I've been in wrestling, I've been told you can't do this. You're not good enough. You don't know what you're doing. So for all the naysayers, you know, I've been in the business going on 18 years. I've made a great career out of it. And those that said I didn't know what I was doing, it was all about me, my company has made it a year. And to me, that's a great thing. And, you know, having help from guys like you, Matt, and, you know, Mark coming up, and Woody and all his guys, I mean, it's just, in this business, you know, you meet a lot of people, but to actually have some people that you can actually call on when you need them and consider them friends, that's one of the greatest I've got out of this business.
It really is, and you can always tell when you're in the locker room what you're dealing with. And it doesn't – you don't have to sit there and ask people, hey, man, what's the show about, or how's the guy that runs it? You don't ever have to ask that question. The air of the locker room will tell you very quickly – what you're dealing with. I've told the story a million times. I said, but one of the first time I went to Woody's show, I learned so much because I realized what it was like to be somewhere where the boss was. And I had not had that in my experience at that time, was to go into a locker room where there was a boss. And your locker room is the same way, but that doesn't mean everybody's sitting around scared. It just means that there is a head of the ship, and it's pointed by someone going in a direction. And if you can do that, you've won half the battle. I can't believe it's been a year already. It seems like yesterday that we were just talking about doing it.
Yeah, and Matt, you know, Woody knows this. But I'll let everybody know that I'm the wrestler. You know, that's been my whole adult life. My fiance, however, is a business person. I had no clue how to run a business. She had no clue how to run wrestling. She handles the front end. I handle the back end. So without my beautiful fiance, Leela Nunley, none of this, and I mean none of this, could happen, because not only does she, you know, she runs the door, she handles the money, she does concessions. And honestly, she's probably the baddest security guard in the history of professional wrestling.
Nobody ever almost got shot at your show?
No. There's something about that, too. You know, we've got this concept called security guards. I mean, you know, it works well for us. I mean, it might be a new concept for professional wrestling business to actually have someone protect the wrestlers. But, you know, it is what it is. And I did hear Woody speak earlier when I was waiting to come online. I'm not going to dwell on it anymore. Woody did tell me one great piece of advice about a year ago to keep my mouth shut, which has always been very hard for me, Matt. But to keep my mouth shut, I'm promoting.
That's a jerk.
But I can wholeheartedly agree with everything he said about that situation.
Well, Woody, get in there, bud. You know me. I'll get in here and start talking.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I had to kind of go with me in the argument. I'm at work, you know, and I usually do nothing, but once I get on the podcast, next thing you know, people decide to show up. So, Ben, I'm going to ask you, you know, when you first started, you were kind of drawing, you know, your crowds weren't that great. Of course, you had Empire running down the street. You had Friday night, what is it called? Friday night something, I don't know, or Scenic City or something like that. Not Scenic City. Or
yeah, we competed against them last year.
You know, they both shut their doors now. And have you picked up a lot of their fans? Do you come into that to a lot of your success on your show growing?
Honestly, no. We did catch some residual fans. There's a few guys that come over from, you know what I'm saying, with the Scenic City, not to be confused with the Scenic City Invitational, but Scenic City Wrestling.
Yeah.
Out of Ringgold, Georgia, literally two blocks from my building, when they were forced to leave their building, we did get some of their fans, and they still come to this day. As far as Empire, right after Christmas, Empire was going to have a big show, and their building flooded. They were actually going to run Christmas night, I believe. It got flooded out. The following Saturday, the next day, it got flooded out as well. So being the businessman that I am, I cut my ticket prices to $5 and made sure everybody in the area knew we were the only show in town. That night, we did draw a lot of their fans. And I honestly, being honest with you guys, we probably have maybe 10 of their fans that are there religiously every Saturday night when we open the door. I think what's helped us is, you know, product knowledge, word of mouth. Believe it or not, I'm from the old school. Hang flyers. I think that's helped us. I think a social media presence has definitely helped us. The kid I've got doing my flyers for me, Justin Smith, he is so incredibly talented. I give him an idea, and he just blows me away with it. Matt, I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook yet, but I was looking for old ideas on flyers, and I went NWA Mid-Atlantic style. And the kid, you know, he wasn't alive back then, but he kind of did the research and filled the flyer. That and, honestly, people coming in to see the product and realizing that it's not the same Chattanooga, North Georgia area wrestling that's been forced down their throat the last few years for the most part.
There it is.
They
that's
come
what
in,
I wanted to get into right there. That is it right
yes.
there. Because
they
you
come
are
in, they,
in
they,
the epicenter of sort of, I mean – you're right there at it. You're right there where all the Tennessee styles come to merge. And
yes.
That's not always a good thing.
No, it's not.
Did you have to fight that?
At first, it was a struggle. It really was. Being in the business as long as I had and, you know, talking to Woody and even you, when you took over at PC, that, you know, your first year, if you lose $100 at a show in your first year, consider that a win.
Yeah.
So I think it was our third show. We actually made a $60 profit, and the first thing I did was call Woody, and I was like, "You're not going to believe this."
we
but
made
it,
money.
It was a fight. It was
yeah.
a fight. Literally, like I said, with the guy that was, you know, in the news earlier today, is literally 15 minutes from me. One of the companies we talked about that went out of business, literally a minute and a half. Empire
yeah.
was probably 15 minutes. The show that I booked for a year, Red Bank, you know, they're 20 minutes from us. All these shows have their faithful fans, just like we do. But my theory was, it doesn't matter if, and this is something Woody taught me years ago, it doesn't matter if they're people, 100 people, 1,000 people, or, you know, you're at the Georgia Dome and there's 40,000 people watching you, you give the best product that you can. And now that I'm booking, I book guys that I know are going to give me 100%. I don't book guys that are coming for a payday. I book
mm-hmm.
guys that have passion and desire for professional wrestling and want to see the business grow as a whole. You help me, let me help you.
And, you know, that is – I've talked many times about just having the horses. And you, like you said, you tell a good story, you can cover a lot of things up with good booking. But at certain points in the card, though, you've got to have the horses. And
oh, yeah.
You have lucked out because you got them in spades. Tell the people about some of the talent that they might not know about that just kind of blows you away.
Oh, the first one that's going to come to mind, and it might be because I'm talking to you right now, Matt. You guys come to work. I think Shane Marks is arguably in my opinion, one of the top two talents in the state of Georgia, the other one being Ray Fury. So when I knew I had him coming, and I also had what I consider to be arguably the best talent in the state of Tennessee, Menace coming, to me that was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So everybody
knew that was. And, you know, for that particular match, you know, two guys that have never worked each other a day in their life, never met each other,
never been around each other. Right.
No.
Went out there with no build on a big show and stole the show.
Early on in the card, too, like two, which is great. I was really thankful for that. get me on early.
You know, a lot of people get mad about that, and I've done that not just, you know, at my show, but when I was booking other shows. Man, to me, the first match is more important than your main event. It sets the trend for the rest of the night. You go out there and you have a car wreck for the first match, then the crowd's already out of it, and you pretty much got to kill yourself to get them back in it. But if you give them something hot to start, oh, man, you got them eating out of the palm of your hand.
Yep. That's so true.
Can I say something real quick? Touching on that. You know, Ben goes, like, if you go out there and you have a chain at the first match. Here it is. Joe Burrow brings his wife and his three kids to watch wrestling. They've never been to wrestling before. They come and watch that first match. The first match is a train wreck. He gets up, leaves, never come back to give independent wrestling a try again. That happens a lot. And this, their saying is, you only have one chance to make a first impression. So that first match is very important.
That's
right.
The biggest form of advertising we have in this business, positive and negative, is word of mouth. So if you leave a bad taste in somebody's mouth, everybody's going to hear that before you left a good taste in someone else's mouth. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
The bad news spreads quicker than the good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've got another Shane up there that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I was actually
fixing to
hit on
that
Shane
down my way. Whew. Shane Daniels.
Yeah, we
– one to watch.
Shane Daniels.
That guy. I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's waiting on a call from you. I've been putting him over. You know, told him I've been putting him over to you. He's waiting on the call, but I'm not sure how old he is. I know he's not been in it that long, but, I mean, he's legit 6'6", 6'7", about 290, 300 pounds, and very, very agile and just great mind for the business. And Shane drives from Knoxville. Every Saturday, and he gets there when I get there at 4 o'clock to start setting things up. Of course, you know, with us having a set building, pretty much everything stays set up. But Shane's actually helping me do a lot of the training now with the guys we've got coming up, and Shane's phenomenal. Actually, I've got a little tussle going with Shane right now. I'm actually going to wrestle him for the first time ever this coming Saturday night.
Good luck with that, son.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, he's going to test my wheels. You know, I'm used to being the biggest guy on the block, but I don't know what's in the water now. But these guys are huge.
And I have not seen him in a match that he couldn't handle yet. And I've seen him wrestle. I'm going to Jordan. What's Jordan's last name, Ben?
Chase Jordan.
Jordan Chase. Chase Jordan, yeah. I saw those two wrestle. It was the first time I saw him wrestle a guy that size, and they did. They just a pitch perfect main event. It was a great main event for that show. I saw
and you
him
believe
in there
it,
with Jeter. Yeah, yes. Saw him in there with Jeter at our place, and I saw him in there with Gunnar Miller at our place. So that's pretty hot commodity. But yeah, he's absolutely great piece of talent.
You just proved the point that he can go with anybody. Every one of those three you just mentioned are vastly different styles.
Yeah.
You go back to your question, though. Chase, you brought Chase up. Chase is good. Chase is a student of the game. He studies. He studies the business. He's still green, so he's still got some placement we've got to work on. And Woody and I have talked about this and maybe some spatial things like that. Corey Dye is another young kid that we've got that's I hate to compare the two, but just based on size and flying ability alone, he reminds me of early Wildside Slim J. They're built the same. They've got the same look. He can do all the flips, but he's not at Slim's level by any means yet, but he's getting there. We actually just added a guy that you've been using here, Matt. One of my old tag partners, and he's a UEW original too, Jason Hampton. Hampton for years was just, you know, he's, and still to this day, he's a guy that always fell into the background. He wasn't vocal. He didn't speak up. You know, he was just, he was there. You know, in the business, we say he was a good hand to have. So, you know, Hampton, after Empire shut down, he was looking for a place to work, so I brought him in. And first shot I gave him was against Menace. And matches on YouTube if you get a chance to watch it, but they stole the show.
Just throw him to the wolves.
Sink or swim, brother, sink or swim.
Get in there with this dude who can do just about anything, and you better hold on. You better buckle up. I said this about Menace,
and of course,
to be able to connect and – you know, not have your face hidden a lot of time. There's something in there.
Oh, man. And brother lives with him. Gets off the exit and puts the hood on. The boys will see him, but none of the fans will ever see him without a mask on. And that's
when we pulled up in the parking lot. You know, we were parking. I'm kind of looking around like, I said, I wonder, oh, yeah, that's clearly the guy. Because he is ready to go from the time he shuts the trunk. And you can't say enough about that. But that was the feeling that I got of your locker room, was everybody there wanted to be there and were proud to be there. And,
exactly.
And you can't put a price on it. You got
to
have it.
No, and I do have to put over two more real quick, and that's Brandon and Jason Collins.
Well, we'll be here all night if you want me to just come up and call us boys.
Oh, them guys have been... They've been my opponents, my partners, you know, real-life best friends for the last 5 years. Those guys are invaluable to any show that books them. You guys both know that.
I will say that if we're making a list, as Woody often does, and I'm sure we'll get to it on this show one day, is guys who are underrated, and they certainly are that.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
I just don't. There aren't too many tag teams that embody what a tag team should be, like they do.
It's a lost art form,
and they've got it. And here's the thing about them that impresses me outside of their work, and this is sort of a peek behind the curtain. And this was very true at Empire, and it's very true at your show too, Ben. Everybody watches the show, and if somebody does something that doesn't go well, they will creatively, politely let you know what they saw, how they interpreted it, and how you might could do it better. It's never, you went out there and you stunk the place out. It's, hey, man, remember when XYZ happened? Well, maybe next time you'll think about doing it like this, because here's what I think. And furthermore, it is received well. Now, you don't have to listen. You don't have to go do what every guy tells you, because sometimes you get bad advice. But at the same time, it's that give and take, that back and forth, that lets people get better. That's how you get better, is by listening to guys. And for the guys to be into the show enough to watch it and not be back on their phones and figuring out where they're going to go eat and doing all that, it's a testament to everybody pull. I say it all the time. We're pulling the same way on the rope. That's when you know it's going good, is when everybody's fighting the same fight. And, I mean, I think that's got to be a big deal of what made you get there a year.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's the fact that they care. They care about the product. They care about me and my fiance personally. They appreciate what we've done. I appreciate these guys because, trust me, nobody's getting rich there. I mean, everybody's making money, but nobody's getting rich. So for these guys to care enough to give their, you know, they're not paid to do that, to give their time and their effort to help these young guys, and even to an extent some of the older guys, you know, hey, you know, maybe try this. You know, I sit back with that, and that gives me more pride than anything I've ever accomplished in wrestling personally. Sitting back and, you know, watching a show from start to finish that in my head, and my fiance hates it, she'll tell you, like, 7 days a week, pretty much 24 hours a day is wrestling, but that's all I know. You know what I mean? It's like my kids and wrestling and my family.
Yeah.
That's it. So my mind's always turning for ways to build the product. So see these other guys come in and care enough about my vision to get my vision over. And, you know, maybe even help me at times with, like, hey, have you thought about doing it like this? Or what if we add this to that? I mean, it's so great. You know, it's just – it's great having guys around you. And also, it's great having guys met over the years in the business that still have enough respect for you, no matter where they've went in their career, that they still are willing to come back and help you and not big time you.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
Gunner, Chase Owens, Anthony Henry, guys that, you know, I've been around for years, that have actually done a lot with their career are still willing to come back when they have free time and help. And that's, to me, that's great. You know, they're coming to help the show.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a minute about your name, because when before I realized, I knew you were doing a thing, but I didn't know what it was. And so I started seeing those UEW promotions, the Extreme. I said, I don't know. Is this some sort of crazy deathmatch league where they do a bunch of barbed wire and lights and shit, because I don't know if I'm for that. And then I realized, okay. So talk to us about why you chose that name.
All right. UEW was started in 1998 in East Ridge, Tennessee, actually a few miles up the road from where we're currently at now. And at the time, I had wrestled at this god-awful show in Rossville. It's not even worth mentioning. Woody can tell you about that one sometime. Or
yeah, I wrestled there, too.
I'll give you a hard story. Basically, guy can't get booked anywhere. Parents start a show for him, top deal, one of those things. And I had actually started training in Ringgold with a guy that we mentioned earlier in the show. He basically took $1,500 from me and taught me how to take chops. That was pretty much it. Met Woody. Woody helped me out, got me on this show in East Ridge. And you got to remember, it's the late 90s, so ECW is hot. WCW has a hardcore division by that time, I think. Even WWE does. So Extreme, X Games, Hardcore, all that stuff was in. So we got created a show, come up with Ultimate Extreme Wrestling. At the time, it worked out perfectly. It fit the genre of the time. It fit the time. Fast forward, Lord, almost 20 years, when we make the decision to branch out and start our own show, I'm trying to think of names. And as you know, pretty much all the cool names have already been used. You know, you've got this Wrestling Alliance, this Wrestling Association, this Championship Wrestling, there's so many different names. So I was just, you know, I was sitting back and I was thinking, and someone that was involved with the original UEW had suggested, why don't you see if we could just use, if you could use that name again. The person that owned the name and I were still very close friends, so I was like, well, the worst thing to say is no. So I called Robbie Griffin, who owned the company, and asked him. He gave me my blessing, gave me the rights to the name, and if you've noticed, pretty much in any of our publications, we just go under the call letters of UEW.
Yep. Yep.
For the reason that Ultimate and Extreme is kind of passe now. But to me, it was paying respect to the company where I cut my teeth and got noticed enough to get outside bookings. And also pay respect to, honestly, one of the only shows that ever ran long-term in the city of East Ridge. So it fit perfectly, and we actually had some fans come out the first few shows that said they used to come to the old UEW, which, you know, that's kind of what we were going for, was, you know, name recognition. Maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't. And it worked out for us. And, you know, now UEW is just, you know, we get the UEW chance like the ECW crowd. So that's what we focus on, is pushing UEW as the name, not so much the Ultimate Extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that don't mean somebody won't get smacked around with a chair. I don't want y'all to think that either. But
we did host the first ever death match in this area about 6 months ago with the Strong Style Psycho Tank and Death Wish Brad Cash. And, of course, it was everything it was billed to be, and more power to those guys, because I was crying from half the stuff they did.
Woody, what happens to your body when you see one of those matches? Do you just get up the heebie-jeebies like I do?
Well, the big thing about, sorry for me on this, back when that shit was hot, I used to do a bunch of that. But I'll tell you, we used to beat the shit out of each other, me and Rob Justice and B. Hayes and Tank. Yeah, so I don't cringe as much as I go, you guys are going to regret it, you know, kind of deal, you know.
I'll tell you this, I'll take that over a bunch of damn flips. I'll take that over flips any day.
Yeah. Woody, you remember that hardcore match in Piedmont, Alabama, when you wore the Auburn helmet?
Oh, yeah, I wore my Auburn football helmet. War Eagle, and I wore a pair of softball cleats. I had barbed wire, crutches wrapped in barbed wire, ball bats wrapped in barbed wire, all kinds of stuff.
I wish I'd been there. Wouldn't no security kept me out of the ring at night. I'd been all over.
It was Bobby Hayes and Tank in a three-way. We beat the shit out of
God.
Country.
We're going to do an hour on that one day. Do an hour on that. Man, I tell you, I respect a lot of people, but man, Bobby Hayes, golly, when you think of a wrestler in Georgia that embodies everything that you have to do, I don't know if anybody is. There's certainly nobody more than Bobby Hayes.
I can't say enough
about it.
At one time, Bobby Hayes was going to go somewhere, and then right at his peak time in his career, where he was really making a name for himself and getting solid, he kind of took a little hiatus for a couple years. Remember that, Ben?
I do. Bobby Hayes is hands down one of the best guys ever.
You know, he used to work for Dusty a lot. Dusty was high on him, and Abby loved him, and you know, he was at the right places at the right time, and just took him a little hiatus, and next thing I wish he'd have hung in there a little longer. I believe he'd really went somewhere.
Man, well, we're getting low on time, Ben. I want to make sure that you get out everything you want to say about this big anniversary show, because I've been seeing the flyers. They look great. You got a lot of things happening, so tell the folks what they can expect if they're in East Ridge at UAW at the big show.
We got our big show, like I said, it's coming up July 30th. It's our one-year anniversary show. We're calling it Evermore. It's going to be headlined by Shane Daniels and Brad Cash for the UAW Championship, Joey Otto against J.D. Rollins for the Heritage title, the Collins Brothers versus a tag team yet to be named. I'm still looking if you got any guys you want to send my way for the tag team titles.
I know some guys.
It's also, we'll talk off air about that one. Also, it's going to have a match that I probably should have got some sleep on before I come up with it. I'm calling it the Golden Opportunity Match. 10 guys qualify by receiving a golden ticket. You get in the ring, and it's Battle Royal style. Once you eliminate someone, you're eligible to climb the pole to receive a briefcase. Then you have to make it to the designated area where the referees are to push a button corresponding to the case that you have in your state. In the time that you get the case and make it to the safe area, anyone can take your case from you until you hit the light. The cases are going to have a title shot for each title at our following big show, Grave Danger, which is our Halloween theme show, and one will have a guaranteed title shot for any title at any time.
Wow.
And that's going to be 5:30 at 410 Drug Road, and
This week we've got Ben Thrasher versus Shane Daniels for the UEW Championship, and also the AIWF World Heavyweight Championship, Damian Wayne defends against Brad Cash.
Boy, I've had my tangles with Damian Wayne a time or two, and we ain't bested him yet. So that says something right there. Shane Marks hadn't beat him yet. He's much of a hoss. But, man, you talk about getting it done. He gets it done.
Oh, yes, sir.
And, man, do the ladies love it.
Ben, we appreciate you coming out and spending time with us today.
Hey, anytime, guys. I thank the world of both of you guys. I'd love to come back anytime. You know, Woody's my mentor. He's my wrestling dad. I love him to death. You know, Matt, I thank the world of you. Always have. You've always treated me well. You and Shane are welcome back anytime. So anytime you guys want me back, just let me know.
And they run every week at UEW. So if you are regular to Woody's shows and he ain't running, which is a rarity, I know. It's not too far from where
Woody
you are.
Always running.
You don't know that. But, yeah, if you've got a regular
you
person,
on,
say you yes, then
you can,
the posters
find us
do
on
look
Facebook.
Great.
I appreciate it. Like I said, this kid does great work. He's a 17-year-old kid just out of high school, and I hit him with a message, and he's hooked me up ever since.
Well, man, I wish nothing but the best, my friend. I hope we're talking in a year.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. We'll definitely be talking a year. We ain't going nowhere, brother. Ain't nobody running us out.
Hey, can I tell you something real quick?
Start telling the people. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to mention, I went to Wiley Wrestle 2 weeks ago. Me and the girlfriend actually had a Saturday off from wrestling. So what do? We go to wrestling.
Go to wrestling.
I went and watched one hell of a match between Strychnine and Bill the Butcher.
Bill the Butcher. Yes, you
shout
did.
Shout out to Bill the Butcher. I love you. I want to have your babies.
I'm still kicking myself. Woody, I was sitting in my recliner watching TV. I was going to the show, but the soccer game I was watching went to overtime, so I watched that and missed my window. I'm still kicking myself. When they text me and tell me Woody was there, I said, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
I went for that match. I'm a big Strychnine mark, and I like Bill the Butcher, but I've not really got to see him live and pay attention. Bill, you'll be getting a call pretty soon from me, but
always raising my talent. He is always raiding my talent.
That means you're doing
something
right.
The BC Buffy boys do pretty good when they get out and running. I'm here to tell you, that Bill match and that match with Shane Marks and Strychnine, those may be the best two matches outside of maybe Masada and Brad Cash that they've had under the new regime there. So they've got things turned around. The right people are in charge. Things are going in a different direction. So I look for Wiley Wrestle to be a major player if they can keep on the road to victory. They got it's tough to stay in it. But if they can keep the road, stay in their lane, I think they'll do real good.
Oh yeah, I think it's growing, going the right way now. I really do. I just can't, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment too. They're just knocking it out of park, you know. And it's growing little by little. I think Josh Wheeler's dream starting to come true.
He's finally found his niche.
Yep.
Yeah, they've certainly got him. Well, Woody, start telling the people how many shows you got. We ain't got but a few minutes left. This will take you a while.
I'll cover this weekend. Got Canton, Georgia this Saturday. Got a big six-man tag. The Society, which is Zero, the Hatter, and Shaggy, Evil Shaggy now, taking on the Movement, which has recently turned great good, and Cousin Cletus. The big six man. And we have the Lynch Mob coming to take on Johnny Rock and Joey Sparks. Should be a really good show this Saturday.
Well, PCW is off this week, but we are back in full fold on June the 28th, where we will find out the two champions for that haircut match. So I am waiting with bated breath to see what old Slant Eye has got in store, because I know he's got a trick up his sleeve. But I got faith in my boys to get it done, and I cannot wait to see somebody make Mr. Fuji out of Stephen Platinum. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. We are Three the Hard Way. You can find the tipping point in this spot and a couple there next week.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.